So it's now 3 o'clock, so it's time to begin. Again, welcome everybody to the Saturday afternoon meditation at Dhammaloka Center. And as you all know, I hope, that this is the ongoing class for meditation. We always do at the same time an introduction to meditation class for those who haven't meditated before, who want to learn the basic steps of meditation. And that is being held in the hall called the Community Hall, which is to the north of this building, and that way. And so this one is the ongoing class for those who wish to pursue the meditation deeper. So we sit for longer and give more detailed instructions about meditation. But sometimes people tell me that I don't give that many instructions on meditation. I don't give, you should do this step one, and then step two, and then step three, and then step four. And the reason I don't do that is because that seems to hinder the progress of meditation. It's like we want to achieve something, to complete stage one, and then to complete stage two, and then complete stage three. And then it becomes just like many other things you do in life, like a progression of going onwards and outwards. Whereas the path of meditation is very different. It's a going inwards, going inside of where you are right now. And that's a very fascinating to know. You just stay where you are. You don't go anywhere. You don't try and change anything. You go deeper into where you already are. And as you go deep into what you already are, where you already are, as many things on the outside seem to vanish. The simile which I've often brought up is that when you are watching one of these, on the aircraft, when you're watching the flight safety demonstration. And on the international flights I used to go on, it was played out on a screen in front of your seats. I always remember just, it's a small screen, but then when you looked at it, the eyes would automatically be brought inside the screen. In other words, when you first started watching it, you could see the upholstery of the airline seat in front of you, and you could see the plastic rim of the screen. But as the thing was turned on, I noticed my eyes, my vision was just drawn in just to be inside the size of the screen, so that was all I could see. I'd automatically been drawn in enough to see the safety demonstration. And I notice that's so much the case of anything else which I do in my life, especially it's easy to see with vision. And you go up to our lookout or another nice place in Bodhinyana Monastery in the evening time to see the sunset. And there's many other things you could watch, but the eyes get drawn into the most beautiful part, which is, you know, the colours of the sun as it sets over the Indian Ocean in the evening. It's one of the great privileges of living in a place like Bodhinyana Monastery. But it wasn't so much the beauty of those experiences which I was interested in, it's just how it's an automatic experience. Your mind gets drawn into the center of things, especially when the center of things is attractive. And that's exactly what happens with our meditation. Our world is just so wide and so full of so many sensory objects. Even here, sitting here, there's so much to see. There's wide windows and many people coming and going, the sound of the wind. But as you meditate more and more, all those things on the outside tend to disappear. And life gets much more simple, just sitting here, just meditating. It's like you are going inside. All this sometimes noise, even sometimes feelings in the body, heat or cold, an ache or a pain or whatever, after a while that seems to be on the outside, and you tend to go to the world inside of that. And you know what happens when you do, if you ever do the Google Maps, or you go on any of these internet programs where you can focus in on something, what's on the edge of the screen always falls off. Where it goes, I don't know, but it can't see it anymore. It's beyond your perceptual area of interest. And that's very much how meditation works. You want to find some peace and some quiet. There's so many places where the mind can go. When you start meditating, by relaxing the body first of all and closing the eyes, it does mean that the body is not just a burden for you. It's not keeps on disturbing you. You go inside the body almost. And then all those feelings tend to vanish. Feelings in the head or the arms or whatever else tend to disappear. And that's an important thing to know, because as you get into very deep meditation, you will notice that you can't feel the body at all. And so when some people often say, oh, in these deep meditations, they can, you know, feel their head or they can feel their arms or something, I know for certain that's not a deep meditation. They haven't gone, I wouldn't say past their body, they haven't gone deeply inside of it enough for it to have fallen off the screen of their conscious awareness. They're still aware of it. And that means there's always disturbance, it's not real peace. So what usually happens in the meditation, to be able to get inside, make sure everything is settled first of all. The body is reasonably comfortable, it's calmed down. The nice part is it doesn't need to be perfectly peaceful. It just needs to be looked at, to be relaxed, and when it's relaxed enough, it can just disappear. And I've made this simile before. It's a dangerous simile, I must admit, but it has some truth to it, as long as you don't extend the simile further than it is meant. And that is when you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep, you're in the bed, it's nice and comfortable, it's even pleasant, or you may have an ache and pain, or be too hot, or too cold, or there may be sounds of people outside. And all those sounds, first of all you think, how can I go to sleep when all this is happening? But then after a while you find that all those sounds and those feelings in the body disappear. You're actually going inside of it all. So they're there, but you're not paying any attention to it, as if they just disappear. And I make the point of like going inside of it, because quite often when these things happen slowly, you're disappearing. Sometimes you can hear, say, sounds, but the sounds appear to be a long distance away. You can sort of feel sort of aches and pains in the body, but they're a long distance from you. It is like you're going deeper inside, and these things are further from the center of your screen of attention. And it's a nice way of looking at meditation, because that means once you can trust that process, you learned about it, then you can actually almost meditate anywhere, even with an old and a sick body, which is in pain. You can learn how, instead of trying to get rid of the pain, which gives it more importance, you go inside of it, which means that it starts to vanish. As you go deeper into it, it appears to be further away from you. Going in the center of it, it tends to recede from you. And as that happens, you can do that in sometimes when you're an aching or a pain or disturbed in meditation. You go into the center of things, and then those things tend to disappear. They fall off the screen of your awareness. Just like that in-flight safety video on the aircraft. There's so much else to see, but as you start focusing on it, the mind goes inside of that. And it is sometimes fascinating to notice that, because it does mean that sometimes people have these iPhones and they've got a small screen on them. And I couldn't believe that they're watching movies on that small screen. It's only a tiny screen. Whereas at home, you have these huge television screens which take up half the wall. Why do you have such a huge screen when you can enjoy that movie almost just as well on an iPhone? And it's just what people think is important, but the truth of the matter is you can get all the information on a small screen because your mind focuses in to what is important. And so because of that, that is the way the mind works. So when you relax the body, and then I usually ask you to go into the mind and see something which is in the middle of the mind, which hopefully is strong enough at this point, that is your state of peace. Now, peace is something which is very delightful. It's very attractive. And so once I mention that peace inside your mind when you're meditating, hopefully you can see it, and hopefully by that stage, this is not the beginning of the meditation, after about 5 or 10 minutes of relaxing the body with kindfulness, when you can feel that peace, it is very attractive. And because it's attractive, it does pulls you into it. When you begin watching something like peace, people ask me, what actually is it, peace? No, you need to be a poet to give a good description of what peace is in words, but it's something which each one of you can feel. You know, no disturbance, hardly any movement, just things are comfortable. And so there's nothing much for you to do. That's one of the best descriptions of peace, there's nothing to be done. Everything is calmed down. The business has been settled, at least most of it. And that's also why, that when you do experience some peace, please don't look for more business to do. Don't say, how can I make this peace deeper? How can I make this peace wider? How can I make this peace different? It's amazing how we get something which is supposed to be telling us to relax. We make more work out of it. So when peace comes up, leave it alone, enjoy it. It may not be the deepest peace you've experienced, but it's still more than good enough. And so we relax with it, we are with it, instead of trying to change it. And the more you're with it, with the peace, then the more it actually develops, the more you go deeper into it. Just like focusing deeper in. It's not something you actually do. Somebody brought this up when I was talking with them last week. Does that mean you actually focus, you actually do something to go inside? I said, no, if you focus, you won't work. It's something which happens naturally. You learn how to just appreciate the beauty of this and the calmness of it, the relaxation of it, and don't disturb the relaxation. Just leave it alone and let this relaxation deepen by itself. It's a weird thing to say, but in stillness, it never remains still. It gets more still. The stillness deepens and gets into more peace. Peace is wonderful. But first of all, when we meditate, we're only scratching the surface of peace. We experience other states which are incredibly more peaceful. And it's more peaceful than peace. We don't have all those many words to describe this, but this is what you experience. So as we're meditating more and more, we allow ourselves to be drawn inside of things. And as we're drawn more inside of things, you know it's working when you're feeling more alive. Not sleepy, much more alert. So it's almost like you had a very strong cup of coffee, you got the energy there, but you don't have the shakiness of having a caffeine hit. You have the peace and the power of it and the energy of it, but not the distracted nature of having something like a coffee. And so you go deeper into it, and it's so powerful, so delightful, you are not distracted. The distraction which we have in meditation, which causes us to start thinking, doesn't occur because the deep states of peace are very satisfying. I use that word carefully, satisfying, the satisfaction of peaceful states. It's so satisfying you don't need anything. If I've had a nice, say, cup of tea, which I did have about half an hour ago, I don't need another cup of tea. If you go to the toilet and relieve yourself, you don't need to go there again for a while. You're satisfied. If you had a good meal, you don't feel hungry again. You're satisfied. You find that when you are satisfied, it calms things down and relieves you of the burden to actually find that solution to dissatisfaction. And so most restlessness and thoughts which come up in our mind are a sign we're not really satisfied yet. So instead of trying to stop those thoughts or stop those feelings through force, which is just adding more dissatisfaction, I'm dissatisfied to being dissatisfied, that doesn't stop anything, just keeps things going. You just again let things go and allow the mind to go inside itself. And as you go deeper in meditation, you still realize the next stage is always right inside the stage you're on now. Like sometimes I describe these deep meditations like a set of rooms. And it's a concentric set of rooms. You go in the first door, and that's the only way you can access the door into the inner set of rooms. You go in that door, and inside that door there's another door which you access the next set of rooms. That's the only way into these things. Which means you're always going in. And that soon becomes just a tendency of the mind. It becomes a tendency, it's automatic, because just like I notice when that screen is up and alive on that seat in front of me, on the in-flight videos, it actually draws you in, it pulls you in. Because it's stimulating, it's sort of attractive. And that draws you in and you look at it, and it draws you deeper in. Sometimes that can be an interesting little exercise, which I've done a few times. You see something on that screen, and you're not watching while other people are watching. You find one point which is interesting, you go deeper into it. But I must admit that these days, whatever you see on an in-screen, this is a couple of years ago when I used to go on these flights, whatever you see there, maybe a documentary or something, you actually get pulled. You don't get pulled in because the images change too fast. I remember the first time which I went overseas after 7 years being a monk in Thailand, and on my mother's house, I saw the TV screen. I couldn't believe just how fast those images change. It was one of the reasons why it's much better to watch some nature. Just watch the trees out there. Even though they're moving, some of them are very still. And you can get drawn into there. And because they don't move so fast, you can actually just absorb into them. That is the way in which the mind works. Something delightful and beautiful, you go inside, it draws you in. And then when you do go inside of it, into something like peace, you really get to know it. You feel it, you understand it, it's right there, and you go into it. And as you go into it, that's only the start of going into it, and it satisfies you immensely. Especially your awareness grows hugely. When you're tired, exhausted, it's not a personal fault, it's just because the way we work in today's world, you get tired, and the mind gets tired. And it tends not to have the clarity to see the beauty in things. But as you get rested and you get focused inside, you can soon see immense beauty in the world. And that just stimulates, it makes you feel more joyful and happy. You can see more, feel more. You feel just more insight into the world, more understanding. So anyway, this is about learning how to go into things, find this satisfaction, not sensory satisfaction, but satisfaction in calm and peace and stillness. And that takes you deeper into stillness. And then the journey of meditation begins. I don't say particular stages, because these things happen by themselves. Okay, so I've talked a lot again. So now we can actually do some meditation. If you'd like to get yourself nice and comfortable, if you're not already. Once you are comfortable, just to close the eyes. even like closing the eyes, you can almost feel yourself going inside your body, and later inside your mind. And first of all, just check your body, being kind to it. It's hard to go inside and beyond your body if it's not fully relaxed. And it's also important to develop some strength in your awareness and in your kindness. These two important qualities, which I put together as kindfulness. So right now I'm just feeling my legs. I feel some kind of pressure on them. How do you relieve that type of pressure? Can you go inside of it? Feel it more fully. And be at ease with it. Sometimes when I feel there's a problem, there's almost like a personal responsibility, causes me to tense up. Just like if you wound the body, it swells up, it inflames. Part of that is to protect it. You don't need to protect anything. I want to make sure my body is like open and totally at ease. So all the stuff which is supposed to heal and relieve any aches and pains and relax things in the body can actually flow to it. So I'm feeling my legs, including my feet, as much as I possibly can. With this wonderful kindness, just making sure everything is fine. A quick scan of the legs and the knees and all the muscles to make sure it's at ease. The longer I scan it, the more relaxed it becomes. If I feel any type of tightness anywhere, I just learn how to loosen both ends, whatever those ends are. I can imagine these are just muscles being stretched. I make sure that both ends of those muscles are loosened, let go. So nothing is being forced upon it. And then little by little, those muscles become at ease. And now, honestly, I'm aware of my legs. And I feel far more relaxed than a few minutes ago. Aware of go up my legs to my butt, making sure that's at ease, to my waist. Very often my waist is overly constricted by my waist belt, but that's at ease today. And my waist itself, it's the bottom of the back, I make sure I stretch my back, it feels good. That's what I do anyway, but I make sure my waist is at ease, and my back is comfortable. The one point about relaxing the body, the relaxation which works in meditation is one which can be sustained for long periods of time. It's not a relaxation which you have to keep on adjusting every few minutes. I know I can leave my back in this position and I won't need to do anything about it. It's like settling a problem of bodily comfort and settling it enough for the 45 minutes of this meditation. And then again, I go back to my lower part of my torso. And then I go through the inside of my body, relaxing my digestive tract. That feels a bit irritated today. So what I do with that, don't need to take any pills or anything, no medication needed, just be aware of it. And give it this kindness which relaxes things. Doesn't have to achieve anything or be anything. I open the door of my heart to these feelings as they are. I want to care, not to cure. As I go further up my body on the inside, become aware of any organs which may be aching or tight, tense. That's always the problem I find. Because they're too tight, they're tense, they don't allow healing to come through. I loosen everything up. Even my lungs, I make sure I don't pressure them to breathe this way or that way. Just so you know how to breathe. I let go and let you do it. My torso and all the organs now start to relax. And I also learn to perceive that when things relax in your own body, this is a delight which accompanies it. It feels good. My whole body felt tight when I began this meditation, and already it feels it's loosened. And it's at ease. And that's a very pleasant feeling. And I know to recognize that pleasant feeling of relaxed body is very important. It allows my body to relax even further. It's that delight in relaxation of the body which allows my mind to be satisfied, so it doesn't need to do anything. Everything that's in its right place feels good, so I can let go even more. Anyway, I go back up to my shoulders, relax those. It's pretty easy now. And down my arms, to my hands. And today, once again, I got my hands on my knees instead of on my lap. Feels good, so that's fine. And go up to my neck, make sure the head's well balanced on top of the neck. And my face. Ensure the facial muscles are at ease. And then I go to the important part of the meditation, the state of mind. Am I peaceful? And again, to be honest, I wasn't that peaceful when I began the meditation. But now, that peace has been re-established quite strongly. I know how that peace comes. I know its causes. You go and relax the body so you can go inside of it. In this present moment, peace doesn't live in the past. It's not in the future, it's only right now. And I'm at ease with the content of the present moment. I'm satisfied with this. Which means that everything relaxes. I have no business to be done. So So I can feel the peace building up. As it builds up, I can understand that perception of being inside of my body, being inside of the peace, inside of the mind. It's always being inside of things, inside this moment, and then inside of silence. I'm not going to talk anymore until the end of the meditation. Often being told to just get the beginning clear, and then the meditation will take over by itself. Your job is to let it happen. Don't make it happen. And don't judge the meditation. Just make sure that awareness is strong enough and kind enough to remain.
getting close to the end of the meditation now. Couple of minutes to go. How do you feel? How much has vanished for you? How strong is the mindfulness? How does your body feel? I will now ring the gong 3 times. When that gong finishes sounding for the 3rd time, please come out of the meditation. Now we have the opportunity for question time. So does anyone from the floor here have a question they would like to ask about the meditation? Okay, we'll see what we have online. Thank you. From Indonesia, first of all. Ajahn, is it possible to progress in meditation without having a teacher guidance physically together? I feel like having community will help a lot. It is just that distance problem. And of course the answer is from a community, from friends around, you get some inspiration, but quite honestly, that once you start meditating and you're being aware and kind, it goes inside. And having a community and not a community sitting alone or with many people, after a while just sitting alone by oneself is more powerful. So even here, just sitting with you for 40 minutes, started off by being aware of you, but after a short while, the awareness was just inside. Didn't know who was here and who's not here. So you can progress in meditation by yourself in solitude. As long as you got the basics clear, then the rest you can basically discover by yourself. The Buddha progressed by alone in his meditation. And some of his disciples, they just gave a very quick teaching, a few words, and that was enough for to last them for years and get really deep and eventually fully enlightened. So you can progress without a community, even not having a teacher available every day or every week. So the point is that you learn those teachings, and the best teachings to learn is the ones which you see for yourself. You are the best teacher, because you can understand how you're feeling. The next. I have complex trauma, and recently I feel like meditation breaks down my defense mechanism, and I experience intense emotions like sadness, anger, emptiness, and even suicidal ideations. I cry all the time, having body pain and twitching. I never experienced something like that before, and I'm overwhelmed. Can you give me some advice? Hope my question is not causing trouble. Thank you. If you've had a complex trauma recently, you can still let it go. Sometimes I feel that my experiences even contradict most general ideas of psychology, that if you just try and let go of these traumas, they'll just be in the background there to jump at you at any time. I don't think that's the case. But sometimes you can let go really fully and go inside to places, especially past this past, let that past go, where those things can't really access you. They can't get to you. And when that present moment awareness is very strong, it's much stronger than the past. The joy of the present will protect you. And the memories of the past seem to be not really so important. Sometimes I think, well, here we go, be controversial. Sometimes that the idea of the trauma of the past, you have to deal with them. Maybe that's because people believe in that teaching. You have to deal with them. And so they do come up again. But sometimes that you may feel that you can let go of the past, you can be free. You don't have to be a prisoner of the past. The so-called prison of the past, the doors are always open and you can walk out. It's as simple as that. You realize whatever happened to you in the past, you just don't blame anybody. Don't blame yourself, you don't blame others. And sometimes you can thank that past. You learn from it. Maybe one of the reasons I say that, I can sometimes base that on my own father's traumatic childhood. And he was saying that, you know, he was lucky he survived physically. But he had a drunken father who would beat him and then beat everyone in the family, whoever he could reach. The most traumatic part of that was beating my father's mother, my paternal grandmother, who I never met. And he could not protect her. And that was mostly traumatic. So you've had complex trauma and it breaks down your defense mechanism. I would even say that might be good. Because that defense, why do you feel you need to defend? Instead of defending the past or isolate yourself from what happened, just to let go of that past. I think really, okay, I'm going into deeper Dhamma, is that when you let go of your sense of self and you vanish more and more, you disappear more and more, then it's just the past has no target. It's not you. You can understand whoever did those mean, cruel things, why they did those things. You can't blame anybody. How people were brought up, the difficult situations they were in, and the stupid ways we reacted. We could have reacted in such a more beautiful way, in a harmless way. But it caused this pain. Why do you need to be a prisoner of that pain? It's not you. We have a strong sense of self. We tend to build that self on our past experiences. That's who we are. And if you can, another place where I learned that was many years ago. It was just after Observation City in Scarborough was built, because I went to a conference there. It was a conference on grief. And when I gave my presentation on how to let go of grief, how to be beyond it, not be a prisoner of it, this lady came up to me afterwards. She didn't ask a question in public, she was waiting for me. And she was the mother of one of the victims of the Claremont serial killer. And she looked, she was almost nose to nose with me. And what she said was, "How dare you try and take away my grief?" And that really shocked me. what I was saying was working, but it was taking away her identity. She was a grieving mother. And when I tried to open another door for her so she could be free of that grief, she didn't want to go. Sometimes people do get attached to the sufferings. They don't want to let them go. That's too scary for them. So sometimes a complex trauma, sometimes we just allow ourselves to disappear. And as our sense of self disappears, then we don't hold anything. We can't keep anything. And even the trauma just has got, it's like birds circling, but there's no place to land. I don't know if that makes any sense. You say you cry all the time, having body pain and twitching. How do you? You never overcome anything. You care for things. You don't never try to cure them. And caring, you don't intend to get rid of anything. But when you don't intend, the pain, the crying, the twitching gets less and less. It's weird. You try and get rid of it, it's more intense. You just allow it to be and you disappear. You, the person so-called experiencing these things, vanishes more and more. And then the problem disappears. Anyway, any comments about what I was saying or anything else? Yes. Kathy? Yes, please, over here to Richard.
Looking at the things you've been talking about in minute detail, I'm not disagreeing about the point about the self disappearing and all that. Not at all. But looking at it from the point of view of just in going through life with things that are, it's a question for many people of getting triggered. And looking at the minute detail of getting triggered, it's all causes and conditions, you know.
Correct,
there's
yes.
There's a series of sensory stimulations which cause one to have a perception. And the perception, it seems to me, in those cases, is usually, this is the trauma thing all over again.
Yeah.
So the question is, with this perception, the perception is wrong. And the question is, how to right the perception.
And how to right the perception, thank you for that question, is offering different perceptions. It's not just one door you have to go through. There's many other doors. And my job was to show there's many other doors. You don't have to always look at it in that same way. You've had a very difficult experience. Do you have to be traumatized?
No.
Exactly. So say you don't have to be, and don't look at it as a personal failure if you are traumatized. That just makes it so much more complicated. We don't judge ourselves and we don't try and be something we're not. But it just gives us more opportunities to see things in a different way. And so when these things happen, you feel yourself getting traumatized, don't feel that you have to go on that path. You can just take a U-turn or take a side road. You don't always have to repeat those old psychological dead ends. And that's what the trauma is. Very painful. It's not right now. Why do you have to keep reliving it? Anyway, just throwing out some interesting stuff there for people, and especially for the person who asked that question. Are there any other questions from the floor? Sorry, I meant from the carpet or from the chairs. That's one of the nice things about meditation.
When you go deep, you can see things in a totally different way. You're not sort of locked in to the normal ways of perceiving things. And because of that, strange things can happen. You're traumatized, but it's gone. You can be injured, and it heals really quickly. You can be even just have things like tumors, and they vanish. Why they should do that, who knows, but they do. So it means we're not locked in to these patterns of physical behavior, even unconscious behavior, which sometimes we think, because we're told that this is what happens, you've had a very bad experience, you can expect to be traumatized. Do you have to be? Anyway, it opens up different possibilities. So that's my job. And meditation will happen naturally, but you'll see different opportunities to get through things. Okay, I hope that makes sense to you. But it's some nice questions, and so I answer them in different ways. And had some good meditation, so that's why you get a bit more interesting, I hope. It's amazing how we are conditioned, brainwashed by the programs you watch on TV or on the internet or whatever, and just the people you meet. It's amazing just how much we just brainwash each other. We condition each other. And sometimes in meditation you can just push all of that aside and you see things differently. Someone asked me that question, I think on Friday night. Does meditation increase your intuition? My goodness, it does. Really powerfully. You see things in a totally different way. And it gives different ideas of what's possible in your life. And what some people criticize, Ajahn Brahm, you're really giving bad advice. What do you know? You've got no degrees in psychology. And that's true, I've got no degrees in psychology. But many psychologists, even psychiatrists, have said they learn much more here than they learn at university. Which is fascinating. Any other comments or complaints? Okay, you know I don't get anything out of this. If I say something really wise, I'm in big trouble because more and more people ask me questions. If they say something stupid, I'm also in trouble because then people in the Buddhist society say, Ajahn Brahm, just teach meditation and don't go into this other stuff. So I know I get into trouble both ways. But when you know how about meditation, you don't mind. Is that okay? Very good. Okay, well that's what you got. So let's now pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and then we can go and do whatever we need to do.
I enjoyed that.